Welcome to the Business Growth Podcast with me, Kevin Miller. On this podcast, you're going to hear some awesome interviews from business leaders, experts, and entrepreneurs as they share their story, their journey, and some expert tips and insight of the things they've learned along the way. So sit back, enjoy, learn, and grow. And thanks for joining me. Delighted to be joined in the studio with Marie Lewis, pharmacist, podiatrist, and an inventor. She's awesome. We've been having a great chat off air. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Yes, I'm awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love inviting interesting people in to share their business journey, share their own stories. Let's start there. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to in your business.
Absolutely. Well, I am a local Perth girl. I am a bit of a geek. I went to a local high school here and graduated and kind of fell into podiatry.
Yep.
My father's a GP and I always wanted to help people. So I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't get into medicine. So podiatry was just one of those things, and I just applied and just got in, and yeah. I did it, and oh my God, I love it. And I graduated straight away, and I went and worked for a beautiful podiatrist, but as you do, you put all the grads doing your nursing home. So I started doing a lot of nursing home work, which very quickly became a little bit depressing, just treating old people in wheelchairs and in nursing homes all day long, every day, 5 days a week. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm 21. I can't do this for the rest of my life. What have I done? And then my husband, or who wasn't my husband, we were just best friends back then, his sister was a pharmacist and she loved her job. Yeah. So I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to go and do pharmacy. Half the church are pharmacists, so might as well. So I went into pharmacy and graduated, and then I thought, oh, God, this is even more boring. Because unfortunately back then it was very hard to get a part-time hospital job. So hospital pharmacy is where I love being challenged. And hospital pharmacy is, you know, amazing. Mm-hmm. Community pharmacy is amazing as well. But, you know, just doing script after script after script in a busy pharmacy can get a little bit tiresome. So then I thought, oh, golly, what have I done apart from getting a huge hex debt? And then I went in further studies in podiatry and did extra courses and I found my passion.
Yeah, awesome.
And I have never looked back. I still do community pharmacy, but I do it just part-time every now and then, which has been fantastic. So, yeah, so that's basically it.
That's the story.
That's the story.
And you said we spoke off air about podiatry itself and you were telling me off air how much you enjoyed it, like you just have done. But one thing you said is the problem-solving element. It's getting patients that come along.
Yeah.
Trying to diagnose them, work out what it is that's going on and helping them.
And you
them.
Don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So it could be anything as simple as, you know, corns, calluses, all that stuff that grosses some people out or ingrown toenails. And then it could be the most complicated 5 surgeries, orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine specialist, you know, repeated injuries person, and then you can fix them.
Yeah.
And it's so satisfying. So
and rewarding. Doing things that you enjoy and doing things that are rewarding for you as well.
Very much so. Very much so.
So obviously started off, you became a podiatrist and a pharmacist.
Yeah.
Kept going with the podiatry. And now you've got 2 practices now?
I do. Yeah. They've been going just over 16 years. So I started my Stirling practice initially in the medical centre with my father. Yeah. And I built that up. And then I started the other one in Mullaloo, which is a lot more local for me. And, yeah, that's been going on to our 3rd year now, which has been fantastic.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Well done. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And so tell me a bit about that story then. So, going from working for someone, you know, as a lot of our listeners are small business owners. They might just be working for someone, say, and they're thinking about starting their own business or they want to take that next step and go and do something. Can you share your experiences of doing that?
Absolutely. So initially when I graduated, I was very lucky. I did have my father who owns a medical center. So I did have that and I'm so forever grateful for that. But there were rules. So when he gave me that room, he says, I'll give it to you rent free for a couple of years. I had also just signed up to go back to pharmacy. So I was doing full-time study, master's degree and I just worked one day a week. But the rule was I was not allowed to leave that room. From 9 to 5, I could not leave. So there was no lunches, there was no coffees, there was no, oh, I'm meeting my friend for a workout or anything like this. It was like dress, and I don't care if you twiddle your thumbs, if you're not bringing in people, that's it. You sit in your room all day. And that was the work ethic of my father. So if I could give any advice is if you're going to do something, please give it your all. Mm-hmm. So don't go and schedule in your little coffee dates or shopping or distraction. Don't procrastinate. Yeah. Sit down and think, okay, 9 to 5, this is my time to grow my business. So am I doing social media, which we didn't have back then, but social media. I used to call around other medical centres.
On foot, basically, just nipping in places.
Going and handing out leaflets myself during my lunch breaks at work, or if I didn't have patients for 2 hours, I would try and source leads. I would go and see local physios. I'd hustle. I would hustle, and there would be no distractions for that 9 to 5. Before and after, I could do whatever I want. Yeah. But during that time, that was what he said to me, and that was the rule. And best advice he ever gave me.
Yeah, and it's the hard graft, isn't it? It's the hard graft of business, going out and pounding the pavements back in the day, you know?
It sure was.
I think it gets lost a little bit, that mentality. Not so much the mentality, the actual going out and doing, because we live in a digital world, obviously, so it's easier to think, oh, I can just sit on social media and get clients, or I can just market that way. But the good old-fashioned getting out and seeing people, having a yap, knocking on doors, it still works. It's going to work forever, isn't it?
It sure is. Because, human-to-human interaction, I think, is more important. Plus, human-to-human, you've got their undivided attention. Whereas when you're sitting down doing your social media posts, I have no idea who watches me on social media. And hi to everyone that does. But, there's how many billion other people there as well that are far more interesting and more gorgeous and more fabulous than I ever could be. Yeah. So, you can get lost in that area. So I think sitting down and doing a few hours of social media probably isn't enough. You need to do a little bit more.
And I think in your situation, and I've spoken to a lot of people similar, myself included, and having a family business, I think when you, I think it's such an important learning experience to be around a family business and a family structure that you can learn from each other, and you're given good work ethics and you're given good skill sets, and you're told, you're taken to task, essentially, you're held to account.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in your own experience, isn't it, with your dad, as you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And learning off someone that I was very, very lucky, having a mentor. Mm-hmm. So he was my mentor for quite a long time. And then, I had another mentor in the podiatry field. So for my professional and career and, learning off him. So I used to go every week for a whole day and sit with my mentor and just sit there like a wallflower in the corner, learning off him, unpaid, uninterrupting, I would just sit and learn, and then I'd ask him questions and pick his brain, which was really good to do before kids because I had that luxury. Just little things like that, just putting my all into everything. But that all happened after I found that passion. So after I did that further studies, and I really wanted to do sports and kids. Yep. And that's what we do. That's like 80-90% of what we do is sports and kids. We still do diabetics and corns and calluses and all the ingrown toenails, and they're actually really awesome because I don't have to think. So I love having my little chat, even though it might not be often, with the little old lady or the little old man or the little kid, doing the ingrown toenails. But it's fabulous. So I do enjoy that a lot more now because it's not mundane, it's not routine all day, every day, whereas before when I graduated, that's all I did. But I find it's easy to dedicate yourself when you have something you're passionate about. Yeah. So like you said before, in our chats before, if you don't have something that you love, it's really hard to give it your all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're not happy, the best advice is go and find something that makes you happy, because you're automatically going to be so, so much more successful at that.
Yeah, and I think that's as simple as advice it needs to be, isn't it? Be happy and go and do what you want to do. And just in terms of the initial practice to having a second practice, that's another leap of faith. The first one being even starting a business and going and pounding the pavements and all that stuff you did at the very beginning. But going and having a second practice, how does that conversation start, and how does it sort of happen?
So with me, it was because the conversation started because I was pregnant again with my third. And my eldest was starting full-time school. Right. So going to and from Stirling, so, you know, we live north of the river, mm-hmm. but going to and from was, you know, a 20-minute, half-an-hour trip. And then if she fell and hurt herself and I was called to school, it was just logistically a nightmare. Yeah. So I thought, no, we're going to do something closer. And it was almost my dream to have my own standalone as well. So we actually renovated a beautiful old house in Mullaloo.
Oh, awesome.
And we've got that as a standalone and went through all council approval. Always make sure you do everything right, everyone. I'm a big believer in that. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of hard work when I was pregnant, and it was a lot harder. It reminded me how hard it was starting up a business again, because even though I had lots of clientele, it was a completely new area.
Yeah.
So I almost had to start not from scratch, but maybe 20%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going and reinforcing to all the local people again, hitting the pavement again, finding, you know, a whole new demographic and then learning and working with them and their needs compared to, you know, the economic area that I was with Stirling. So two, you know, totally different areas, different people, different demographics, you know, going from an aged, you know, more diabetic population to a younger, more family population and just learning with that. So that was amazing and really rewarding, very challenging, but a lot harder than I expected.
And do you think the lessons that you learn, or two scenarios being one from working alongside your dad as a mentor, and mm-hmm. So those lessons along with having a business for a period of time before you moved to the second premises, do you think that made it easier for you?
Far easier. Mm-hmm. Because even though I underestimated the work, I thought it would be easier to build up the client base again.
Yep.
So I did underestimate that. It's been an amazing journey, but setting it up and having those protocols and everything in place, the procedures, and having that experience made it far easier. I think with whatever journey you do, I think it's really important because you learn so many different things, and you might be going from hairdressing to, I don't know, trampolining. Yeah. There are lots of skills that you can cross over and you learn.
There's transferable skills with business, isn't there?
For sure.
Yeah. For sure. So one of the listeners is messaged in, that's Barry. Hello, Barry. And he's asked, he says, my 36-year-old son has had chronic back pain for over a year. He is generally very active. He's been to physios, chiros, and doctors, but without luck. Is podiatry something he should now try? Over to you, Marie.
Absolutely, Barry. Hi, thank you so much for your question. Look, I absolutely would recommend getting a podiatrist to assess your son. It makes me very sad when I hear these cases that have been going on for a really long time and they've really tried hard to fix it. But we are asymmetrical creatures, and I find in my professional experience that a lot of chronic and ongoing problems are due to an asymmetry. So you know, we're all a little bit odd and wonky, and if you're a little bit wonky in your feet, then it's going to translate to your ankles, your legs, your knees, your hips, your back. So if you've got wonky feet and we can balance that and take the stress off the tissues, then suddenly everything, all that hard work of the physio, all everything the doctor said, everything all comes together. So please go and find someone that's local to you that specializes in biomechanics, and definitely get an assessment and make sure you're happy and go with him.
Hopefully that answers your question, Barry. Thanks for that, Marie.
You're absolutely welcome.
I've just done that. I've just gone off on a tangent because that's what I do sometimes.
I love it.
I was thinking about when I, back in Scotland, when I used to play football.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going back quite a few years, or soccer, I should say. And all the guys, the physio started putting the orthotics in people's shoes, in people's football boots back then. Like in the early, I'm talking like 15, 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was guys that had chronic back pain and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or hamstrings or something like that. They were always injured, and those small little inserts inside mm-hmm. inside the football boots made a massive difference.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I can't live without my orthotics. My orthotics are life-changing for me because I'm very hypermobile. So I'm wonky, and then I go further. So never underestimate what a little bit of just balancing can do. It can actually change your whole life. And this is where my passion is just, you've just lit a fire, man. I love it. And it's absolutely, it's so, so, so awesome when you see people limping in and then suddenly they can do a 5K walk every day. It's pretty awesome. But talking about football, Everton Football Club actually reached out to us a few years ago.
Wow.
They actually used the orthotics that I co-invented.
Awesome.
Yeah, I had to Google because I'm not a football
fan. Everton's a huge club. Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought they were just local community club.
Awesome.
So they've been using us for a while. We use our orthotics, and talking about sports, we actually, you know, if you sprain your ankle or something goes on during the game, whack out the shoes, pop in some the temporary insole, pop some wedging in, offload it, and then boom, they can play the rest of the game, as long as they haven't ruptured something, of course. But yeah, really, really useful. So great for temporary little things like that, yep. And really good for long-term, just everyday use.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, yeah. Marie. That's if we're helping people and they're feeling better, Barry, hopefully your son's going to feel better just by having a bit of
I hope so.
So that's a good sort of intro into the next part of the conversation, Marie. So we spoke about your practices and mm-hmm. starting off in the family business, growing to having two premises and two mm-hmm. practices running now, also a busy mum as well. Adding into that mix, there was the invention side of things. So the co-invention of the product, which was Syncsole. Tell us a bit about that.
So my friend and I, we did podiatry together. And when we graduated, we found that a lot of, so to put it in layman's term, people roll in and people roll out. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty much it. It's as simple as that. No one really has a perfect foot type, or at least that's what we don't see in podiatry in our practices, because they're probably fine. But when you roll in a little bit, or if you roll out and have really high arches, you tend to have problems, whether it be, you know, heels, Achilles, legs, knees, hips, or back. But the problem is, when we were going through podiatry, there wasn't a lot of stuff that we could use to test out before we casted you and made expensive orthotics. So orthotics can be really expensive. But the thing is, if you came in with back pain, I don't know what to do unless I trial it, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff that was on the market were either pre-controlled for those, so they had control built into them for people that rolled in. Okay. So if you rolled out, I couldn't use them. Yeah. And then even those people that rolled in, that was so chunky. So I had to get these beautiful, you know, professional women and men. Yeah. Men was okay because they have deeper, wider shoes. Yes. But women, like barristers and
trying to wear heels or something or nice shoes.
Nice looking shoes. And I couldn't fit these chunky things in. And then I had to add wedging to alter it and test it, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
yeah.
We invented a slim, really, really slim, 0 degree orthotic, where it didn't matter what foot type you came in with, I could balance it either way. So it gave me, it was light sliced bread. It was so, like, I just couldn't believe that it wasn't done.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we did. So we invented that. We went to China. We prototyped it. For me, it was before kids. Rachel did have one child, so it would have been really hard for her. But we did it, and we invented it, and then we just did the hustle. We went to every conference, and then finally we went and applied on Shark Tank on the first season in Australia. I'd been an avid watcher of Dragon's Den, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
I used to watch Dragon's Den back
in
Scotland.
How cool is that show?
Yeah, Duncan Bannantyne and all these guys, Peter Jones and all these guys.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then when Shark Tank, I was like, what's this Shark Tank? I was like, oh, my God, that's the US version, or it's actually the same company, just different names. Mm-hmm. So we applied and we got in straight away, and then we caused the biggest Shark Tank fight of the season.
So first of all, I'll rein it in a wee bit. I want to know about the Shark Tank stuff.
I'm sure people
do, because it's, you know, it's TV and it's glitzy and it's glamorous.
It is.
And it's an interesting story.
Yeah.
But first of all, what I hear from the Syncsole invention point mm-hmm. of view is I hear that it starts solving a problem. It starts with identifying, you're aware of the problem because you're dealing with the clients mm-hmm. on a regular basis, in particular females, I suppose, mm-hmm. but you identify the problem, then you think to yourself, well, how am I going to create something that solves mm-hmm. the problem? And then you put the hustle in, then you put the hard work in, you go mm-hmm. away to China, you get the product, mm-hmm. you do all those, and that I'm making it sound simple. They're not simple things. They're big moves, they're big mm-hmm. steps. But
the methodology is simple.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's finding a solution for an issue. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just females. It was actually sports.
Yeah,
so when I did my, you know, all those extra courses mm-hmm. and started specializing in kids and sports, I couldn't fit those chunky things into rugby boots and soccer boots and football boots. I couldn't do it. So there was nothing. So I was trying to do wedging under their liner, but then it felt so lumpy, and then it wasn't working, and I couldn't get the accuracy. So there were so many features and issues that we had to address. But you're right, it's as simple as problem, solution, and then implementing it and following it through
and doing the work as well.
It was a lot of hard work. I agree, I absolutely agree. I think people are under, you know, they're delusional if they think that this comes easy.
No.
I mean, you know, we spent 6 weeks over in China. Yeah. So, you know, this is hard work, staying away from family and staying, you know, and investing. I put all my wedding money in into the business.
Sure,
so all the money that we got from our wedding, instead of, you know, going on a beautiful honeymoon, we put it into Syncsole.
You're here, honey. I'm just spending our money.
And you know what, dude? I could not have done it without him. He is, and like, you know, someone strong to support support you and be with you along that journey. My husband, who is my best friend since I was 17, I couldn't have done it without him because that's guess awesome. What? When I was away, he had to hold the fort. And when we had to keep going back for manufacturing, when we had kids, I was off in China and I had a newborn, you know, or I was off at a conference in Sydney and he was, you know, there. So couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah, and it's great to hear. It's lovely here. It's great to hear. And I think that's very important if you've got a significant other, a partner,
absolutely,
a fiancé, is to onboard them and have them, for that support. When you do get, because there is challenges, and if you have somebody supportive around you, it just makes overcoming them all that easier.
And believe in you.
Yes.
Someone who believed, he believed in us, he believed in our product. Mm. And same with Rachel's husband. They were there trying to sell and conference. They were there. They were our wingmen and did it unpaid and was by our sides. So couldn't have done it without them.
Let's move on to this exciting stuff then.
Yeah.
So that look, so you get the, you create the product, you've seen a Dragon's Den, Shark Tank's in Australia, you've seen that you can apply for it. Like, so you apply for it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Talk us through all this stuff that happens, all the glitz and glamour. What happens? How does it work?
Absolutely.
All that stuff.
Let's start for sure. So when we applied, they got back to us and they said, look, we'd love you to come in. So they basically interview you and, you know, just check you out and you got all the cameras and they ask you a few questions and see how you act. And then you have to go and see a psychologist.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, they've got the psychologist there.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, and then they ask you lots of questions to make sure that you can handle, because, dude, you know there are trolls out there. So there are some really nasty people troll you online, and they go through all the different scenarios and go, okay, so what if you get the deal? What if you don't get the deal? What if you, you know, how are you going to handle this and how are you going to journey? And what if people, you know, attack you? And they've got a lot of support
So is it more so for the negative stuff, do you think?
I think
And is that to cover them, do you think?
Oh, totally. Of course.
From
a legality point of view, to make sure that you're mentally in
the right space. It's a good insight, actually. You don't even think about those things.
Absolutely. And making sure that you've got the support there as well. Mm. That, you know, and when you get through, then they ask for all your financials. So they've got
financials.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
not
we had
personal.
Oh, I can't remember actually, to be honest with you, but we had to submit everything to make sure that we are a legit person and we are a legit business and make sure everything computes. I'm not just a really good talker and salesperson. So they go through everything with a fine tooth comb. So they've got their own, you know, team that goes through everything. And once that's approved, then you get invited onto the show. And then they flew us and our hubbies over and we went to Fox Studios. And it was really cool. We were in there for over an hour, I believe. Yeah. But
in the conversation part, you mean in the pitch section? In the pitch.
We're in the room. But for me, it felt like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I saw online, I think about 8 minutes was our segment. We're in episode 13. Don't watch me. I was 2 kids less, so I was...
I'm going to go look it up. I'm going to look it up, yes.
I was a lot younger. My third really killed me. She's a cheeky little monkey. So we're in there over an hour. But, it just really shows you how much they have to whittle it down and, you know, how they edit it. But we were so grateful. They were so amazing. And they edited us so beautifully. And we did. We had the two ladies dropped out straight away, soonish, and then the three men. Yeah. But the questions they ask you are really hard. Like, it's nothing.
And you don't know the question. It's not pre-rehearsed.
No, it's not. But you know what? Rachel and I, we actually went through every single Dragon's Den episode and every single Shark Tank episode, and we wrote down the questions.
Consistent questions getting
consistent,
asked.
Consistent, and having correct answers for it. So
That's something I would think to do.
You'd
want to be organized, and you'd want to be, if you're going to have your 15 minutes or your hour of whatever, you know, your one chance, suss it out, work it out, understand it, prepare.
It stumps me why people would go on, because the questions they ask is not to get an advantage, it's to understand what they're asking. Mm-hmm. So when they ask, you know, what's this and this and this, I'm not an accountant. I'm a podiatrist.
That's right,
who, I've got an accountant. So I ask them the questions or they'll know what to do themselves. But, or if you go like a job interview, you can't not research. You have to research the company before you go. You can't just go there on a whim because they know and they're going to ask you questions. So just being prepared. So we did all that hard work and then we did it. And then, we went and celebrated afterwards. And then we couldn't say anything because this, I think, from memory, filming was in November and they didn't air till May. So we had to be quiet. Then Andrew took us on board, we chose Andrew out of the three men. And then him and his team do all their due diligence as well. And it's been amazing. And now we're international and it's just blossomed to bigger than we could ever imagine.
And taking a punt and being prepared. So I hear sort of taking a punt in the first place, being prepared, hustling again, doing the hustle and
always.
And you know, just giving it a shot, I suppose. Yeah. Giving it a punt. And that experience, I know you've kind of moved on a little bit. Well, you have moved on a little bit from that experience, haven't mm-hmm. you? Or that business as such, I guess.
Yeah. So I've stepped back. I'm a shareholder there, yeah. but I've stepped back from the daily runnings yeah. because I love clinic. Yeah. That's my passion. Yeah. I love meeting people. I love those challenges. And I really enjoy it. And I only do whatever I need to do. And I've got that beautiful work-life balance. And life is good. Life is amazing. And I'm really grateful.
And that's important. You know, you can have all those. I mean, that was a TV, I suppose. There's a bit of weight to it, isn't there, to be on TV and all that. But at the end of the day, you want to be happy. You want to do what lights you up. You want to do what you enjoy doing. Have the balance with work. And you seem like you're very, very happy.
Oh, I am. Thank you so much, Kevin. So are you.
We always have fun here.
Life is good. So moving forward,
just before we go, with your podiatry businesses, where do you see things going with that? Are you happy with it at the moment? Or have you got any plans in the future? What's your next sort of steps?
Honestly, I'm happy where we're at for at least the next couple of years. I've got three young kids. Only two of them, my middle one's just started full-time school, but I've still got the other one. And because I missed out on so much of the childhood of my children, mm-hmm. I literally went into the conference when I had my eldest and she was 5 weeks old and I barely saw her. So, you know, pumping between, you know, conference breaks and stuff like that, I've done that. So I actually just want to be in my two practices for now and enjoy my last one, who's only three. And then after then, who knows?
I'm excited.
There are a couple of things in the works.
The Shark Tank again, maybe.
There's a couple of ideas up there, but yeah, we'll, you know, maybe go and do a PhD or, you know, there's a couple of things I'm thinking of. But you know what? I just want to enjoy life because it is awesome and it is good and I'm very grateful.
You're definitely a clever lady. You've got a fantastic business and you seem like you're very, very happy. So, you know, awesome to you and I wish you the very, very best.
Thank you so much.
If anybody wanted to get in touch with you and reach out, they need some podiatry done. And
absolutely.
How do they find the businesses? Where do they look? Stuff like that.
Sure. Oh, thank you, Kevin. Elite Podiatry is our name. So Elite, E-L-I-T-E. We have a Mullaloo Clinic, which is just up the road. And we've also got a Stirling Clinic, which is managed by an amazing podiatrist who has been by my side and working with me for about 9 years, Rosalie. So she's fabulous. You can book online on our website, which is just elitepodiatry.com, or you can just give us a buzz. Awesome. So you'll find us online. So,
awesome, yeah. Marina. Well, look, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very, very much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honour. And it was so lovely meeting you. You're a champ, man. Champ.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Business Growth Podcast. If you enjoyed it and you want to come back for more, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. You can catch up with me on social media on Facebook at Make My Business Better, Instagram at Business Growth AU, or you can jump on our website, www.businessgrowthperth.com.au. See you next time.